Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Dave Jenkinson concludes our series of messages on 2 Peter. Today, looking at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through to the end. And now, here's Dave.
So good to see each and every one of you here this morning. On this last day of June, it seems important to remind everyone that we are in the cusp of celebrating Canada's national birthday. Tomorrow, July 1st, our nation, 157 years old, eh? Our national motto, from sea to sea, actually comes from a verse in the Bible. Most of us probably know that, Psalm 72, verse 8. So thankfully, I haven't pulled that out of our national agenda. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. If you ever felt like you're at the ends of the earth, well, that motto covers you. That verse covers you. So it's not only Canada's verse. It's a verse about Jesus. He shall have dominion. Of course, it's talking about the dominion of Canada. Tilly, the gentleman who suggested it, they were struggling with getting a noun, some sort of a noun that would cover what we would be called a country, a nation, a kingdom, a republic. But the term dominion was incorporated into the British North America Act, and Tilly was convinced this new nation would be blessed if we gave honor to the Lord in our motto. I trust that we will be giving honor to the Lord in all that we do and say as Canadians. Two other verses come to mind, though, and they're pretty significant. Psalm 74, verse 17. I love this. You have set all the borders of the earth. Ever think about that? All the borders. You know, when you go across the border, you really kind of realize, oh, we're not in Canada anymore. It's just a line in the land, but you suddenly have come to another place. But Acts 17, 24 through 28 also gives that same dimension. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Your boundaries, my boundaries, are set by God. And so, the reason? So that they should seek the Lord. Wonderful. 157 years. Thank God. Mind you, we're not the oldest. I hate to say this, but we've got some older players in the group. Iran, 3200 BCE. Egypt, 3100. Vietnam, 2879. Vietnam, wow. Armenia, 2492. And North Korea, 2333 BCE. All of these have got a lot more ahead of us, for sure. During the COVID pandemic, in the March of 2022, borders were closed. All traffic stopped. Flight, motels, restaurants, schools, and even churches were canceled. It was with the belief that by isolating and preventing the movement of this deadly virus, we might slow or defeat it. About a few months ago, I recall seeing a documentary on how this affected a small village in the U.S. called Point Roberts. Have you ever heard of Point Roberts? Probably not. Well, Point Roberts is just south of Vancouver. It's on a peninsula that juts out into the Pacific and has three sides of it are in water access, and the fourth side, the northern part of this border, is Canada. So it just falls south of the 49th parallel. So there is a part of what you would normally call Canada's land that has a line cut across it, and about 6,000 people live there, but they only have access by going into Canada to get into the United States. It's kind of a cool place. Well, we found it to be so, and it was watching this and realizing that people, when the borders were closed between Canada and the United States, this little corner of USA, even though it had access to everything normally, it could now not access things like oil, for gas. Anything that was being brought into the little grocery store that they had there. So they made some innovative ways to get around that. And I always said, oh, that would be really cool to visit that part of Canada. It's on the south of the Delta, underneath Vancouver. And it's just a cool place to visit, to say you've been to Point Roberts. And you know what? I was privileged to do that on my last trip out to BC. Now, we didn't really talk to our friends, our relatives, but Becky's aunt and uncle were intrigued when we said, I really want to visit Point Roberts. There all the time. We'll take you there. So we got a chance to go and visit that little spot. Yes, borders are determined by God. I got to place my feet in the U.S. section of the Pacific, which is just, you know, it's like any other part of the Pacific, really. But just kind of saying that it was a different kind of way to address that issue. Yes. Peter, as he looks at his little letter to his loved ones, he writes to them in the second letter, and he desires to wake them up, their sincere minds, by way of reminder. We're reading 2 Peter 3, 1 through 18. Now, I'm doing this not because it wasn't done last week, but because it just helps us to have continuity. And I'm remembering that Jesus repeated his prayer several times in different locations, and also many other things were repeated, so I hope the repetition will help. So, verse 2, that you might remember the words which were spoken up before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Firstly, know absolutely, scoffers will come in the last days, walking after their own lustful ideas and asking, where's the promise of his coming? By the way, just on the side, the word coming there is parousia, from which we often translate rapture. For since the fathers have deceased, all things remain as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth was standing out of the water and in water, by which the world that then existed was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved by fire until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And dearly loved ones, do not be unaware of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not delayed concerning his promise, as some count tardiness, but in long suffering towards us, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the sky will pass away with a great noise, the elements will break apart with fervent heat, the earth and the works that are in it will be consumed wholly by fire. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, watching and waiting eagerly for the coming of the day of God, because of which the sky will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Therefore, my dearly loved ones, be looking forward to these things. Make every effort to be found in him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider with that the long-suffering of our Lord to be salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written you. As is also in all his letters, speaking in them these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own stability, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's just further look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is your word. This is not my word. This is not the word of some translators, but that rather, Lord, it is the word of God. Help us, Lord, to appreciate your word, to know these ancient words are reminders for today, and that they are living words, able to change us and make us more like your Son. Thank you again, and we praise you and thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. This little letter written by the Apostle Peter appears for a number of reasons. The Apostle was in prison under Nero's persecution, probably as most historians believe, so also was Paul. Peter knows that his time is short. He's laying off his tent. He talks about that. And like Paul, he's concentrating on his last remarks before leaving this world. So he begins by saying in the first of the chapter 1, and I'm just going to briefly touch on the background to this. There was a teaching circulating among the churches that stated in the matter of sin, believers, though forgiven, were powerless to live a godly life. And Peter was there to show that God's divine power was given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, just as his power saves us and gives us new life, so too does the Holy Spirit grant us the ability to live godly lives. Be holy, for I am holy, 1 Peter 1:16 says. So if you really have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, your temple should be holy. My temple should be holy. You might be asking, how do I get that power? The next verse, verse 4 says so. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises in his words. In other words, Peter is saying, if you want us. Now, does that seem strange? That by reading God's word, the Bible, it'll change your level of power over sin, temptation, your ability to share God's word and witness, to live a more godly life? Let me give you a personal example. How reading a book, and in this particular case, was a little book called The Saving Life of Christ by Major Ian Thomas. I don't know if anybody has read that in this group or not. Maybe you have. It's only 43 pages, and you can get it as a free download as a PDF, so it's readily available. Well, let me give you an example of how reading a book, especially a book about the Bible, can help us, because it's really the Bible that gives us the clarity. During the summer, my first year of Bible college, I was frankly discouraged. The entire first year of my Bible experience was something like this. I sought to live a holy life. I was truly born again. And I was decided with a couple of others that we would get up and have a 6:30 in the morning prayer meeting every morning. Not just once a week, but every morning at 6:30. Some of you may know I'm not a morning person. Some of you may identify with that. And I must have failed so many times right from the very beginning. It was brutal. Like many young believers, I was only 3 years old at that time as a Christian. And I had been taught that my old self or habits could never improve. But if I just persisted, I could at least live out for Jesus. I never expected to live a victory in my life. But Peter, and indeed the whole of the New Testament, says differently. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Psalm 16:11. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Did you notice, by the way, that this is a New Testament and an Old Testament verse saying the same thing? Why? Because there is no inconsistency between the Old and the New Testament. There are many today who say, I don't get the Old Testament. You don't need to worry about it. You are not getting the blessing God intended if you're not reading the Old Testament and believing. Because there are many miracles in the Old Testament. Just as there were in the New Testament, many lessons to be taught. And so, there's joy and pleasure in the presence of Jesus. But I had felt daily failure, judgment, and even hypocrisy as I prayed for all the unspirituals of the school. But I rarely shared my own struggles. And by the end of the year, I had these two fellow hypocrites. At the last fireside of our final first year retreat, I heard testimony after testimony of those who shared the joy that they had received, they had found that year. Now, it wasn't new teaching, although plenty of that was happening, but it was really the lifelong friendships and support from fellow human beings. And I sat there and said, what did I miss? I was devastated. I think I missed a whole year of a lesson that God was trying to say. So I thought, maybe I should go back, even though at that point in time I was saying, oh, I've got a year of Bible college. I must know it all now. so stupid. Well, that summer I followed with volunteering to run a Bible bookstore for a few weeks, and it was during that time I read the small book called The Saving Life of Christ, to which I alluded to earlier. What he taught from the Scriptures is that the same Holy Spirit that God gave us to save us from eternal punishment is the same one who will keep us and help us to live the joyous Christian life. He also taught me that the body, soul, and spirit were all part of that salvation, but that you needed to understand how they connect to each other and how they connect to God. He gave me the key to spiritual growth. So if you're interested, you can get that link or just look it up. It should be available. The Saving Life of Christ, Ian Thomas, PDF, free. John Bunyan once said, "The pathway of life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God, it is impossible to take one step without treading on at least one of them." Here are five more of my favorite promises. Jeremiah 29:11-23. It's not all of it, but 11 to 13. That's a typo. Sorry. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." No flippant approach like, "Hey, Lord, hey, whoa, what's going on here?" You know, no, he wants us to seek for him with all of our heart. Mean business. Luke 12:30 on possessions. The first was on plans. The second, I'll flip them around. But let's go back to prayer. Matthew 7:7, prayer. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will." There's a sequence. Ask, seek, knock. Actually, if you think about it, A-S-K, the first word, ask, is the acronym for this prayer plan. Ask, seek, and knock. There's persistence in prayer. Possessions, all these things the nations of the world seek after, your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added to you. Luke 12:30. And then, of course, the wonderful verses about perish never. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me, I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So I and my Father are one." John 10:27-31. And then a little verse from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:7. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord." Have you found that trust? Have you found that hope today? That's why we have these meetings. One of the reasons. The promises of God are both precious and very great. But as Peter thinks of the promises of God, he reminds his believers that his writing is true. And then in chapter 2, those who were traveling around were stating that they, like Peter and Paul, were apostles. They claimed to have seen the risen Christ, to be followers of him who were infiltrating the early church. The letter was written to address this problem. Just as the early church was given instructions on the qualifications of elders and deacons in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, so too the early church was given the opposite side, teaching on false teachers and prophets, 2 Peter 2 and Jude. This letter seeks to warn the early church about those individuals. And it would appear that not too many people are reading these warnings about false teachers and false prophets. Finally, in chapter 3, Peter deals with the subject of the return of Christ, the hope of all true followers of Jesus. This letter reminds the believers that the coming of Jesus also includes judgment. Now, many believers had died in the current persecution by Nero. Some were saying, "Why hasn't Jesus come? Why hasn't he protected us from this persecution?" Others were saying, "We have it all wrong. He's not coming back right now." So he reminds them of the challenge of remembering in the first two verses of this chapter. "I desire to wake you up by way of reminder." And he goes on to say that the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord, are equal. Did you catch that? He's not saying these words of ours are underneath the holy prophets of the Old Testament. No, he says these words are as inspired as the holy prophets of old. This was a powerful statement to be said during the day in which he said it, because most of the time they didn't have the words of the apostles. They had the Old Testament, but not the words of the apostles. And so he says, we need a stirred up mind. And the challenge of the last days in verses 3 and 4, they knew that scoffers would come in the last days, and that was talked about very well by previous messages. So we're just going to move along. But first of all, are we in the last days? Acts 2:17 says, "It'll come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Well, we've been in the last days since the first day of Pentecost. So 2,000 years, give or take. And he's quoting Joel chapter 2. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "The last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, of money, of pleasures, more than lovers of God." There's other things that are added there, and you can look them up. 2 Peter 3:3 says the scoffers will come. And these scoffers will actually prove that the word of God is true, because they do exactly what they're predicted to do. So the word of God predicts that these scoffers will appear, and sure enough, they appeared. Their presence is proof that the word they deny is the true word of God. The citizens of Noah's day scoffed at the idea of judgment. The citizens of Sodom scoffed at the possibility of brimstone and fire. And if you've tried to witness for Jesus and brought up the subject of judgment, you'll probably find that they will scoff at you as well. So why? Well, they're ignorant of this one thing. And he goes on to say in verses 5 and 6 that the word of the Lord declared that God had created these things. Psalms 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." In Colossians 1:17, "He is before all things, and by him all things consist." The global flood teaches us that judgment is coming, and that the global is global and is sure. Did you catch that? It's not just in Israel where punishment will take place. It's all the world. Even South Porcupine, Porcupine, Schumacher, Timmins, Mountjoy, and all the surrounding areas. All the world. We have got a distorted perspective on prophecy, I'm afraid. Because over and over again, he says, he is coming to judge the complete earth. Now, there's judgment going on whenever there's a war. We know that. And there's wars going on right now. And it's pretty tense all around the world. We ain't seen nothing. I'm sorry to be that kind of a person to have to tell you. The Word of God says that it will be the entire world that will be judged. And it's global. And so that's what he says. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering, not willing that any should perish." Why? Because he says, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years there is one day. He's quoting Psalms 90, but he's doing more than that. He's telling us to see time differently. Did you know that time can slow down? Now, they've proven it scientifically. Those who have studied what happens when they send an atomic clock up in space, and when the clock comes back to Earth, it's a few seconds slow or fast, but I believe it's usually slow. But the point is this. Time is elastic. Now, I thought that's crazy. The first time I heard that, I thought, oh, I got to put this to the test. So one day I had an incredibly busy day. I mean, it was so busy, I said, 31 things on the list to do today. How can this be possible? And there's all over the map. I'm going all over the map to do these things. I took a little moment to say, Lord, could you slow down my clock? Or my time zone today? It'd be kind of cool if it would work that way. I don't know if that's the way you work, but let's see what happens. You know, at the end of the day, I looked and went, I can't believe it. Every last thing on the list was completed. Have you had one of those days? I think some of you have. But God is the author of time. It was one of the first things he made when he said, let there be light. Light needs time to operate. So he created time at the same time. Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe time was already there. But he transcends time. And us, we are in the midst of time. Timetable. Modern science has revealed that the elements that make up the world are stored with power. There's enough atomic energy in a glass of water to run a huge steam engine or ocean liner. Man has discovered this great power, and as a result, the world seems to teeter on the brink of atomic destruction. God was even long-suffering toward the scoffers of his day. They needed to repent, and he was willing to save them. This is the only place where Peter uses the word repentance in either of his letters. But this does not minimize the importance. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to, and you would have thought he would have said, faith or the gospel. But what he really says is repentance. Why? Because one of the necessary conditions that we can't even manufacture, by the way, because repentance is even a gift. One of the things that we need is to turn our hearts to God and say, Lord, change me. Repentance is surrender. It's to put up the white flag. It's to willingly accept what the new Lord has dictated to us. We were in Satan's army. You know, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And we go, right on, Jesus, you're getting them good. You got them with the word. But he would say to us, and you, if you're not in Jesus right now, you are of your father, the devil. Because while we were born with natural parentage, we were born in rebellion. That was the first act that takes place in the garden. We will not have you rule over us. That was essentially what they were saying to God. You make some restrictions, we don't care. Now, freedom is great when you're in Christ because it's freedom under His control and under His supervision. But absolute freedom to do sin is absolutely wrong. Jesus has come to bring us freedom. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21, is God's formula for salvation. And so in 2 Peter 3:9, the word make room for or come, translated at the end of that verse, really means that the lost sinner needs to make room for repentance in his heart by putting away his pride and meekly receiving the word of God. And so the word melt in 2 Peter 3:10 means to disintegrate or be dissolved. It carries the idea of something being broken down into the basic elements. And that's what happens when atomic energy is released. Heaven and earth shall pass away, said our Lord, but my words shall not. And it appears that many of this may happen by the release of atomic power. Now, does a tottering old man or an angry orange man who holds a briefcase which contains the codes for atomic war, does that scare you? Well, it shouldn't. Why? Because Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. We of all people should not live anxiously. You can listen to the news and hear impending doom. But the fact is this, God is in control. We need to remember this. You talk about in control. I was having a little joke the other day. A person that turned 100, and they had the big cake with all the candles together. She got ready to blow out the candles. She went, And okay, I popped her uppers. Her dentures popped out and hit the candles with a gigantic spray. God is in control, even of your dentures. And so, it was pretty funny. So why are we talking about all this? Well, it's to remind us that as we look at the passage in front of us, the last four verses of the book, the challenge is that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verses 10 through 13, which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Wow, that's an important verse, isn't it? The Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. They say that when people were there at the first atomic blasts, and they heard the sound of that rushing explosion, it just sounded like things were melting and that the whole world was being dissolved. God's judgment is forceful like a thief. Watch therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord doth come. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, we know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. I will come on you as a thief, Revelation 3:3. And Revelation 16:15, I come as a thief. Why else? God's judgment is fiery. Matthew 25:41, He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. And 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire He will take vengeance on those who know not God, that obey not the gospel of their Lord Jesus Christ. And God's judgment is final. 2 Peter 3:10 says, heavens will pass away with a great noise. It's rodezin, great roar as a wind of fire. We've alluded to that. And Colossians 1:17, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He holds the world together by His word of His mouth. When Peter says we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth, the word create is a different word. It's the word bara, which means to make something out of nothing. The new heavens and the new earth are not just remodeled earth or renewed earth. They are a brand new earth. And that is why He says we should be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. However, if you don't believe that, you believe that there is a renewal of the earth, I'm not going to take objection to that. It's simply this, that it is a complete renewal. It's not just a renewal of Israel. It is the entire world that is going to be renewed. And so, that's why He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 21:1 and Revelation 20:11. I saw the great white throne to Him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So what then should be our attitude in all of this? What is the last thing He says? He says, we are to grow. Grow in grace. This has to do with character traits. The very things Peter wrote about in 2 Peter 1:5 through 7, that he wrote about in Paul wrote about in Galatians 5:22 to 23. We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But we're called to work as a result. Grace does not end there. We must be strengthened by grace, 2 Timothy 2:1 through 4. God's grace enables us to endure suffering. His grace also helps us to give when giving is difficult, and to sing when singing is difficult, Colossians 3:16. Our God is the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10. And let's not forget, James 4:6, He gives grace to the humble. Yes, if you want to receive His grace, there's humility and humbleness that must be achieved, must be first entered into. And that is saying, like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. So, dear loved ones, this phrase is found 5 times. We translate it just usually, beloved. He says, dearly beloved, in the first verse of chapter 3, in verse 8 of chapter 3, verse 14 of chapter 3, and verse 17, and even talks about Paul as beloved Paul. And so, how do you grow in grace? You recognize, like Peter, that you need His love. Remember the story of Jesus after His resurrection. There's Peter. He's calling Peter to renew his claim on Peter as the leader that will take the charge of the little band of disciples. And He says, do you love me? And then what does He say? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The 3 things He keeps reminding is that love is an action word. Love. And so, if you want to grow in grace, you have to know His love for you. We've enjoyed thinking and worshiping the Lord this morning. The great gift that He has given to us, eternal life. You know, when we were on our trip, as those of us who've traveled recently discover, you feel pretty helpless in many ways. You're not in your own language sometimes. You're not in your own environment. You don't have quite the things that you're normally used to. And you feel a little awkward, almost like an alien, a stranger, a pilgrim. You suddenly realize that that's what the early disciples were all about. They called themselves pilgrims and strangers to this world. When we came back, we found it. And by the way, thank you for all of you who prayed, because it was a miracle on so many levels. But one of the things we discovered was that as we came back, the strike that is now going on, I believe, or maybe has recently been settled, but each time they stopped the flights, there would be thousands and thousands of people without flights. And somehow, God got us through the midst of all that, and we came through without being stopped. In fact, they were so good at getting Dad, as I said before, they got him to the debarker spot long before we were there. He just, poof, he was gone. And they were pushing him in the wheelchair, and he was, we couldn't keep up to her. She was Amazon. She was just a charging, and here I am struggling to catch up to her, and the crowd gathered around, and she went into the crowd, and all of a sudden I couldn't find Dad. We've lost him. And I thought, wow, how'd I do that? Not only didn't do it at the beginning and the end, but I did it halfway through, and we're in a strange town as well. So, but God sent another person along to remind us that, yes, he's taken care of. He's probably having fun at the other end, sitting there waiting for us. And sure enough, he was. He was telling his favorite joke to a lady who was going to Dublin. And she was enjoying it. She liked it so much, she wrote down the punchlines in her little book. She said, I want to remember that joke. And it was the anniversary joke. If he hasn't told it to you, you have to ask Dad about the anniversary joke. So, dearly loved ones, thank you for taking time to consider these verses again. He is coming. We are looking forward to his coming. It could be any day, any moment, even now. But the important thing is this. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered in repentance to him? And if you have, then you can say, not only am I ready, but he's ready for me. Because you can't get any better than you are when you're just saved. Because that's salvation doesn't change, but you are saved. It is saved, sealed, and delivered right at that moment. And may God bless us as we look to him even this day. May God bless you.
Dear Lord, we love you, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you'll just continue a transforming work in our lives for those that know you and for those that don't yet know you. Lord, I just pray that you do your transformation work and your saving work and call us all to be redeemed in you. And Lord, I just pray that we have that repentant heart that was spoken of this morning, that we fall back constantly on repentance, turning and changing and loving you, focusing on growing in you more and more every single day. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. We just thank you that you're with us. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us on whatever adventures we get into this week, and that through all things that you are glorified, and that people see you when they see your church in Timmins. Amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.